Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations.
Shall we turn our Bibles once again to Psalm 100 and verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. I have entitled my sermon this morning, The Sheep of His Pasture, the phrase that is found at the end of our verse. The sheep of his pasture. Since the Lord has called Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh home, many have asked me whether I know who will be the next pastor of True Life BP Church. This question was asked mainly by those who love this church, including members of this church. Some of them think I know the answer. Though I think it is a genuine concern, none of you, my brethren, should forget that the Lord God is our great shepherd. Naturally, we would like to see a pastor, a human leader who loves the Lord. But never should that desire be allowed to tarnish or diminish our view of the Lord as our true shepherd. None of us should behave, no matter whatever be our concerns are, as though God has ceased to be our shepherd. There is a need for all of us to be reminded and be reassured that we are the sheep of his pasture. Let me speak to you first of all on this subtitle I have, The Sheep of the Lord God. The title of the sermon is The Sheep of His Pasture. But let me talk about we being the Lord's sheep. There is a need for all of us to be reminded that we are the Lord's sheep. No matter, as I said, whatever be our concern, do not think the Lord has now ceased to be our shepherd. The word of God declares we are the sheep of his pasture. In Psalm 95, verse 7, maybe you would turn to that passage. In Psalm 95, verse 7, the psalmist declared, He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Wonderful, isn't it? He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. And then he restated by saying, the sheep of his hand. He has not let us go of his hand. All those who have come to trust the name of the Lord must remember this. He carries us in his hand, like a shepherd would carry the sheep in his hand. He never let us go of His hold, of His embrace. We are always in His hand. And you must continue to read that psalm. The last part of verse 7 says, "Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." You see, here in Psalm 95, verses 7 to 11, the psalmist reminds God's people that they should not be like the children of Israel in the time of Israel's wilderness journey from Egypt to the promised land, when they often rebelled against God. They had a wonderful leader in Moses, a great and mighty prophet, but they were not obedient to God. Under that wonderful shepherd, a meek shepherd, they constantly rebelled against God. And they brought much pain in the heart of Moses. You see, even if you have a human leader who loves God, but if you deny the leadership of God the Almighty, that leadership is of no use for you. The most significant thing is that we acknowledge that we are the sheep of the Lord God and He is our shepherd. Whatever be the concern of our heart, let us acknowledge and live as the sheep of the Lord God Almighty. Yes, a godly human leader is good and important, and we pray that God will provide. But think of the trouble of that man if we were to be a people who are rebellious. A godly leader will never lead you for his own name's sake or his pleasure. He will never lead you for your own glory and pleasure. He will lead you for God's glory. So it's very significant that you have a heart that would follow the Lord as His sheep. May I ask you, for the purpose of your own self-examination, have you grieved the Lord by disobeying the good counsel of His word, preached and taught by His servant, Reverend Tho, while he was alive? May I repeat that question? Have you been living in disobedience to the good counsel of God's word, which was preached and taught by God's servant, Reverend Timothy Tho? In other words, have you behaved as the sheep of the Lord under Reverend Tho's pastorship? I'm not asking whether you have come to the church when Reverend Tho was preaching. I'm asking a different question. I hope you understand. Have you lived as the Lord's sheep? Your pastor has entered into the rest that the Lord has prepared for him. But my question to you who are alive today is this: will you enter the Lord's rest if you were to die now? Or will the Lord say to you, as He said to the rebellious Israelites in Psalm 95, "I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest"? So it is our great urgency that you be sure that you are truly the sheep of the Lord God. That's the most important thing. Be sure that you are the sheep of the Lord God. Today's scripture portion delineates three characteristics of the true sheep of the Lord. Let's look at verse 3 of Psalm 100. Three characteristics of a true sheep of the Lord. Firstly, a true sheep of the Lord must know that the Lord, He is God. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. Matthew Henry, the great commentator, has very properly said, ignorance is not the mother of devotion, though it be the mother of superstition. Ignorance of the Lord God Almighty and His truth will only lead you to a superstitious religion. We cannot afford true lifers to be a superstitious people, that if we have a human pastor, then everything will be okay. We need a human pastor in God's time by His appointment. We don't deny it. But let's don't be superstitious. What we need to remember is this: we must know the Lord, that He is God. Knowledge of God is the mother and the nurse of true religion. Knowledge of God is the foundation of true piety. You cannot be a true worshiper in this church without knowing the Lord and His truth. Really, to know the deity of the Lord, even the one who condescended from heaven to be our Savior by His life, death and resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the most significant thing for you, my dear worshiper. Do you follow Him because you know Him as your Savior? Do you follow Him because you know Him as the most wonderful Lord God? Do you follow Him as your God? Do not come before the Lord like you would come before a man. Come before the Lord as He is God. Remember, we never come to church to see a man. We come to worship God. Have you been coming in the presence of the Lord, who is your God? So come before the Lord as He is God and none else. Some of us come to the church, but then we would not allow God to exercise His sovereignty over us. We do what we like, and we declare ourselves to be the God of our own lives. What a great shame. You must know the Lord is God. Not our parents, not our bosses, not our friends, not our husbands, not our wives, not even we ourselves. The Lord is God. And we must know it. And our life must show that we know the Lord is our God. The very strongest argument forced upon one soul for obedience and worship is his knowledge of the deity of the Lord. Without knowing, deeply knowing that the Lord is God, you cannot be a true obedient worshiper of God. Let me read out a few portions of the scripture. Listen to them carefully. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 35. Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord is God, and there is none else beside Him. To Israel, the Lord has manifested Himself through Moses in many different ways. Mighty miracles were done to deliver them out of the bondage of Egypt. And through the wilderness journey, the Lord has proven Himself to be their God. And Moses said in Deuteronomy 4, unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God, and there is none else beside Him. Likewise, in the same chapter, verse 39, Deuteronomy 4:39, the Word of God says, know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Moses wrote that to Israel to tell them, I may be dead and gone, but God will be faithful to you for 1,000 generations. Endlessly, God shall be the God of His people. Generations to come would know. Reverend Timothy Toh has served his time on earth. He served you well, faithfully, fervently, joyfully, gladly. Now he shall never come back. But you should never forget that the reason why Reverend Toh served you in the name of Jesus Christ, because he knew the Lord is God. And that was the passion of Moses and all the great men of God. So you, my dear friends, who have been so wonderfully shown by the servant of God, through the Word of God, that the Lord is God, should never waver in your faith. Every day you must live in this knowledge. My Lord is my God, and He is God forever. I'm sure you are familiar with Psalm 46, verse 10, that says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. You know, if there are certain concerns in your heart, I cannot blame you. But look, you cannot be too anxious, as though God has forsaken you, as though the Lord has ceased from being your God. Be still where you are, where God has appointed you. Be still as a member of True Life. Stand firm for the Lord where God has put you. Don't panic. Don't struggle. Don't wrestle with God as though you are going to run away from Him. But stay with God in prayer, acknowledging that He is still your God. He will be exalted. That's what He promised. Know that the Lord, He is your God. The second characteristic of a true shepherd of the Lord God, according to verse 3, is this, that he will acknowledge that he is the creation of the Lord God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves. Every one of us is the offspring of His divine power. Every one of us. This is a fact of which we are informed, not by scientists, but men, holy men of God who were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is a truth that was given to us by revelation of God. It is not a matter of man's opinion, but it is a matter of God's own true revelation in the Word of God, that we are made by Him. He hath made us. He is our Creator. Now, since the Lord made us, He has a right to us. Every true sheep of the Lord must acknowledge that we belong to God because He is our Maker. He made you, so you belong to Him. The potter has a right to make the vessel for what purpose he wants it to be used. The Lord, in our case, made the clay from which He has fashioned us. We are therefore entirely at His disposal. And it is His desire that we, His people, must serve Him. Because we belong to Him. Because He created us. So if you are created by Him, and if He owns you as His creation, never ever forget, you are to serve Him. Because that's His will. In fact, the psalm is all about worshiping God. It says in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. We are to serve the Lord with gladness and come together to sing His praise because He is our Creator. Let nothing distract you from this great truth if you are a true sheep of the Lord. If you have accepted the great truth that the Lord is our God, which your pastor has taught you before he has gone home. If you love that truth, then show it by affirming that God is our Maker and we are created to render our praise to His holy name by the way we praise His hymns of praise, and also the way we serve Him. You see, if you have made anything, don't you expect to use it as you wish? If you make a tool for your trade, you deliberate how to employ it according to your pleasure. If that thing would never bend to your will or be useful to your purpose, you would speedily put it away, isn't it? So is it with you. The Lord who made you has a right to your service and obedience. Will you not acknowledge His claim? It's not time to be rebellious or disinterested. It's not time to quit serving Him. The Lord has brought you to this church, led by Reverend Tho. And there is a purpose in divine will why this church has been established. Now in God's time, according to His omniscience, He has taken His servant. We cannot quarrel with Him. He is most wise. But that same God teaches us, we being His creation, He has a purpose and we got to serve Him. It's not time for us to be disinterested or time to quit because of the troubles we feel. Will you not acknowledge God's claim on you? Consider what He has made us to be. You know, it is a no mean thing that God made us for His own glorious purpose. True lifers, let me tell you, you should not think of this church as a mean thing. It belongs to God. And it's a glorious thing. You must understand that. It's not by accident. It's through a fiery furnace that the Savior has brought us. We have been sort of molded by His hand all the time. And it is the time that we must completely, with joyful heart, declare that we are His creation, as individuals, as families, and as a church. We shouldn't forget. Israel was not to forget this fact after Moses' death. They were expected to continue. But whenever they forgot this fact and serve other gods or their own purposes, God has set them aside too. They were chased out of the promised land many times as a matter of chastisement. And we shouldn't make that mistake again. We shouldn't fall into that trap that the devil would often play before us, and we get trapped by it. Be careful. Always remember, we are created for His divine purpose, and we must be glad to do His will. So I would like to say this to you. If you acknowledge the Lord God as your creator, and not that you belong to yourself or anybody but to Him alone, then yield to your Master's will. Yield yourself to your Creator's will. And that will be the best for you. Every day you know God's word and His will and obey it. He will tenderly guide you like a shepherd into all His glorious purposes. Never doubt this, okay? He will never cease from the purpose for which He has created you. He will never do that. So don't try to be too smart and outwit God by planning out your own course. Be still and know that He is God, and acknowledge it as you come to worship Him and serve Him as He has appointed unto you. So I say again, yield your hearts to your Maker. Yield to your Maker to fulfill His purposes and not to do your own. And you'll be surprised that the Lord will reveal more things to you. And some of you will be called into the ministry. Some of the young men here will be used by the Lord mightily, provided you acknowledge Him as your Creator and He has a glorious purpose, and wait on Him. And we are going to see mighty things that the Lord would do for us, because He created us for His own glory. He will never, never draw back from that purpose. But I hope we will not draw back. I hope we will not pull away from Him. Let's stay close to Him, our Maker. Yield yourself to your Maker. You know, the Lord Jesus said in John 10:27, I hope you remember that, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." You hear His voice, the Creator. Today you hear the voice of the Lord as we study the Word of God together. Stay calm. Rejoice. Praise Him in your heart. "Lord, thank You for talking to us. We know You are our God." Thirdly, we see in that verse that a true sheep of the Lord God must always remember that he belongs to the Lord. We are His people. We belong to God. We are His people. What a great promise, isn't it? We are His. God has not abandoned us after creating us. He has not left us and gone away. He would not do that. He will not leave us like the ostrich that leaves her eggs to be broken by the passer's foot. You know, sometimes other animals pass by and crush the egg. Ostrich has a habit of leaving the eggs. Our Lord is not like that. What do you think of your Lord? Say in your heart, "We are His people." He is watching over us every hour, even as a shepherd guards his flock. Over us all, over us all, He exercises an unceasing care. There is always a watchful providence. Therefore, we should return to Him daily to serve Him by saying, Lord, we are Thy people. We are Thy people. We don't belong to anyone else but to Thee. And we are not orphans. We have a Father in heaven. Even if physically I will be made an orphan, God is the Father of the orphans. He is the husband of the widows. He is the pastor of the church that has lost its pastor. He is the shepherd. And He wants His people to say, we are His people. Every true sheep of God who is fed out of the storehouse of God's divine grace will always follow his God ardently. You know, you have seen sheep following the shepherd. Whenever the shepherd moves forward and whistles the sheep to indicate that it's time to move to a new place, they will happily follow the shepherd because he leadeth me to green pastures. The sheep know that. And we must be happy here today. We must be happier tomorrow. We must be happier 1 year later, 10 years later, as long as the Lord would give us time on earth. We are His people. I hope to see some smile on your face. Everybody looks sad. We are His people. The Lord is really one who cares for us. Please do not forget that. So I plead with you, if you are His sheep, do not behave in any way as though the Lord has ceased to care for you. Let none of the true lifer ever behave as the Lord has forsaken this church. That will be contrary to God's glorious will and purposes. Let's don't even say it. Well, your questions are good. You have a genuine concern. But, you see, we cannot answer all questions at all times. God is the answer. God is the answer. We are His people. And that never changes. Oh, believe with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, that you are the sheep of His pasture and the people of His hand. The people of His hand. So I've talked to you on the point that we are the sheep of the Lord God. Now I want to emphasize before I end my sermon that particular phrase in Psalm 100 and verse 3 also says we are the sheep of His pasture. It not only says we are His sheep, but it says we are the sheep of His pasture. How are we to understand this? Pasture. His pasture. You know, when I was thinking about it, my mind was quickly taken to the book of Ruth, which I'm preaching in my church. Ruth, the Moabite who trusted the Lord and said to her mother-in-law Naomi that your God will be my God and your people will be my people, came to trust under the shadow of the wings of God of Israel. And in chapter 2 of Ruth, we see as soon as she reached Bethlehem, she went out looking for grain, for food. There was nothing in the house. In fact, Naomi was very bitter when people came around and called her Naomi, which means pleasantness. She said, why do you call me Naomi? Call me what? Mara. Bitter and sadness. She was very unhappy that God has removed her husband and two sons. There was no man in that house. So she said, stop calling me Naomi, start calling me Mara. But Ruth was not going to give into that kind of stress and pain and sorrow because she has exercised faith in the God who is faithful. So instead of sitting in the room and crying, I have no father-in-law, my husband died, my brother-in-law also died, now I got a sickly heartbroken, widowed mother-in-law. Who is going to care for me? She was not crying. She went out trusting in the Lord, and she descended on by the providence of God in the field of Boaz. You remember that? It was really pure providence. She didn't know anything about Boaz. She walked out of the house to find a field where harvest was going on so she can glean what is left behind by the reapers. But you see, when she entered that field, Boaz came to know about it, to cut short the story. You know, Boaz said to her, "Never leave this field. Stick with my young maiden and glean. I have commanded my young men not to touch you." And then if you read through the chapter 2, you will see, actually Boaz commanded his servants to leave behind what King James Bible translate, a handful of purpose. Means on purpose leave behind some sheaves for her to take. Don't leave my field. We have a better Boaz in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord God says to us, you are the sheep of His pasture. He's a shepherd with a pasture to care for all His people. He will never leave you without His provisions. He will feed you abundantly. God is faithful. The Lord has abundantly provided His truth in glorious ways to you through His servant, Reverend Toh. And if we remain faithful to the Word of God, if we know the Lord as Reverend Toh knew Him, if we declare the great truth that we belong to God, our salvation cannot be lost. The 5 points of Calvinism so passionately taught by Reverend Toh, if you believe it, the Lord will take care of you. And look, He will guide you in His pasture. You don't have to run into some other field. God has given you a board of elders supported by deacons. You know, they are faithful men. And I can say that. Reverend Toh knew them. Reverend Toh approved their appointments. And they are faithful. And you have Reverend Dr. Jeffrey Koo and others with him. And they teach you faithfully. Do not despise that, okay? It's the word, His pasture. You know, this particular word, pasture, is often used in the Old Testament. If you would give me a few more minutes, I want to talk about three use of this word pastures very quickly. But there are more uses because time wouldn't permit us. I just want to bring to attention two of it. Firstly, it is used together with the adjective good in Ezekiel 34:14. Now it's about Israel. Nonetheless, listen to this. Ezekiel 34:14. I will feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. The Lord said through Ezekiel that God will take care of Israel. All the troubles that happened to Israel in the time of Ezekiel was because of the disobedience. Nonetheless, the Lord is still standing by His position as the covenant Lord. He will not be unfaithful. So He said to Israel, I will feed them in a good pasture, and even upon the high mountains of Israel. And then He went on to say, in a fat pasture. In other words, in a prosperous pasture. He will feed you with all that you need. It's a good pasture. It's a clean pasture. There won't be any poisonous shrubs. The Lord will give you His truth. He is committed to it. True life, as your name suggests. If we remain faithful to God and His Word, we will always have a good posture. And I'm absolutely sure the present leadership of this church is committed to it. And you who are members of this church and worshipers of this church must keep coming to serve the Lord. Because here you have a good posture. His posture. Because this church continue to proclaim that His Word is pure. Thy Word is pure. Just as Psalm 12 says, He has kept it. He has preserved it. We have the pure, perfect words of God. You know, that is the best posture you can ever have. That's the kind of feeding you need. A church that feeds you God's Word. The good Word of God. Without doubt. In all its perfection. So do not fret. The Lord is our God. And we are the sheep of His pasture. And the word is also used in Isaiah 30:23, with the adjective large. Let me read that verse to you. Isaiah 30:23, very quickly. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, and thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. Of course, it's a reference to God's provision for the cattle of Israel. But the Lord says, I will provide for you and for your cattle, and I will provide for you a large pasture. You know, the Lord is ever able to provide good counsels. He is able to lead us all, every one of us. Even if God would bring another 300, the Lord will feed us. You have nothing to worry. And His Word is sufficient. His Word of God, the Word of God is a large pasture for us all to come in. Whatever your troubles. You know, some of you think, oh, only if we have a pastor who can counsel us on this kind of problem. I remember about 8 years ago, I invited a BP minister to preach in Gethsemane Bible Presbyterian Church. And it was a very urgent situation. I had to rush back to India because my grandmother suddenly passed away. And I called on this particular pastor to come around and preach. And it was Reformation Sunday. And he said he will preach a Reformation message. I said, thank you very much. I went away, and when I was in India on that Sunday evening, I got a call from Singapore, and I was told, Pastor, when you come back, please listen to the message. Something is wrong. I just couldn't wait but to come back. I was hoping that the funeral will be over, though I love my grandmother very much, but I was very concerned about the church. What did this man preach? I was not told. The member who called me said, Pastor, I know something is wrong, but I cannot tell you what's exactly wrong. I'm not so clever, and I'm not so wise, so you better listen, but I must tell you something is wrong. The moment I came back, I listened to the audio recording. And this man has a crazy message that day. I never heard any BP minister preaching like this. And it was the last time I ever invited him, and I will never invite him again. He took the pulpit and said to the people, oh, we must have a new kind of attitude toward church ministry. Because in the Reformation time, Martin Luther used the newly invented printing machine to spread the truth of God's Word. So now we have a lot of new philosophies in the world. And the first thing he said is this: our churches must follow a supermarket mentality. Consumer is everything. It was preached from Gethsemane's pulpit. Supermarket mentality. Number two, you must have specialist mentality. You know, like when you go to a hospital, you have specialist doctors, cardiologists, pediatricians, and so on. So we need lots of pastors specialized in different aspects of counseling. Mine. I wonder whether he ever sat under Reverend Timothy Toe. If you would go and ask Reverend So and say, give me a counsel for my trouble, he will say, read a psalm a day, isn't it? Or if possible, more than one. The word of God is the counsel. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it is good. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. This is a large pasture, my friend. If you have a pastor who doesn't exalt the word of God, if you have a leadership that focuses on people and their specialization, you are going to be led into all the wrong places. What you need is good preaching of God's word. And you have all your problems covered through the truth of God's word. Stop thinking about specialized men, okay? That's not what we need. Our God is the greatest specialist when it comes to dealing with our problems. And He has given us the manual that we need. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Psalm 19:7. And the word convert there means restore. It's the same Hebrew word as in Psalm 23. He restoreth my soul. The law of the Lord is what restores our soul. Is a large pasture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. If you believe that you are the sheep of His pasture, you have a good pasture, you have a large pasture, and according to Psalm 23, you have a green pasture. Of course, we know pastures has to be green. If it's brown, you don't call it pasture, you will call it desert, isn't it? Pastures has to be green. Then why did He say green? Well, the idea is that there will be new springing leaves. He will not feed you with old leftover food. You know, reading God's word is like eating fresh food. How many times I've heard people saying, oh, praise God for that preacher that came by today. He preached faithfully. Oh, that's what I needed today. And you eat something fresh today. And I've heard sisters and brothers who come, the Lord has spoken to me last week when I was reading the scripture in my early morning devotion. The Lord gave me this word that sustained me until today. Praise the Lord. It is ever fresh. It ministers to us in our need. Because the Lord feeds you in His pasture. And He's a faithful shepherd. And I pray that God will assure you that you are His sheep, the sheep of His pasture. Take God's word, look nowhere, and thank Him today for His promise. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, the good shepherd of His people, we bow our heads before Thee with thanksgiving. For Thou art a God who never fails. You led our fathers who trusted in You with kind and merciful providence. And we who trust Thee according to the faith that is once delivered to the saints also look toward You for continuing guidance upon us. May Thy people rejoice because they have heard Your voice that declared to them that they are Thy sheep. May this truth abound in us, grow in us, increase in us, taking every corner of our mind and our heart and passions and claim it for the Lord's glory. We humbly yield that the Lord may exalt Himself through each of us and through this church, now and forever. We pray all this for the glory of our shepherd and in His name. Amen.